When you say, I am baptized, you are in fact saying, Jesus died for me.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Now that work of Christ for you is given to you in baptism.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's one of the most familiar Bible stories told in Sunday school. It has everything a Bible story should have to capture the attention of children. It has a young boy. There you are, right in the story, or so we're told. It has a giant, almost the stuff of fantasy. There is ancient warfare, there is bloodshed, a little bit of violence, some intrigue. And in the end, the little kid wins, which is often the way the story of David and Goliath is told. Although if you go back and actually read the story, although those are the basic facts that still remain true, it has more to say. In fact, it doesn't really have much to say with a little kid winning. It has more to say not only about David, but about who David will later, by way of promise, foreshadow. We're going to be talking about David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. Joining us for our weekly Sunday school lesson, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
So the beginning of the story is a pretty bad situation for Israel. They are up against it with the Philistines. And the Philistines, well, they're winning. And they've got almost an unbeatable champion in the person of Goliath. Give us some context for this very familiar story.
Yes, the Sunday school lesson begins with chapter 17 with Goliath. But in chapter 16, David is anointed king by Samuel. And that's an interesting chapter because Samuel is told to go to anoint a new king because God is fed up with Saul because of his disobedience and unfaithfulness. And when he gets there, he sees a brother to David named Eliab, and he believes that he's the one that is to be anointed. But the Lord says, very important, he says, the Lord sees not as a man, but man looks on the outward experience. The Lord instead looks on the heart, and he chooses David. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And then we get into David and Goliath. The Philistines are the enemy of Israel, and they're gathered at a valley. And on the one side of the valley, they challenge Israel to send a man to fight against their champion. His name is Goliath of Gath. And his height is, it says, 6 cubits and a span. In other words, Goliath was about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. And one could therefore talk about this as the God of Israel versus the 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Now, what happens is, of course, that the people of Israel, all the soldiers, are very afraid because it hasn't been since the time of Joshua that there was really a leader who could really do good battle, have the right strategies and such. And what happens is David's father tells him to go and take some food to his brothers, who are, of course, at the battle. And David goes willingly. He's really happy to do that. And so when he gets there, he has a totally different perspective on Goliath than everybody else. He feels that Goliath can easily be defeated. not by man, but by God. And this is really critical, that the Bible story shows that the difference between David and almost the rest of the people was that he continued to trust in God, and the people had lost their faith that God could help them.
So this is a crisis of faith for all the people of God, and yet God, is, as you just mentioned, has already prepared beforehand this man who would be, if he is king now by anointing, but he would be king by acclamation in time. Is this part of the story to show us that God has that in mind? He's showing us what David is going to be able to do as king for his people?
Yes, because David himself already had an experience when he was guarding the sheep. He had to fight both lions and bears. Now, I hadn't realized that there were lions at that time, but there were. In fact, they were there for a number of centuries. I think in the 9th century, there were no more lions in that area, but there were lions, and of course, there were bears. And David had the task of protecting the sheep, and a number of times he had to rescue the sheep from the mouth of the lions. In fact, in verse 37 of chapter 17, David says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And then Saul says to David, "Go and may the Lord be with you." Now, Saul wants David to wear his armor. And part of the reason for that is, first of all, it's pretty good protection. But there was also the thinking that if he wore the armor of Saul and defeated Goliath, then Saul would get part of the credit, if not all of the credit, because he was wearing Saul's armor. So that's not really obvious, but it's something to get across to the Sunday school children, that at times you need to be careful of who is helping you in doing something. Their motivation may not be correct. So David approaches Goliath with a sling. I used to say it was a slingshot, but I was corrected by that. This was a sling, and for example, in other parts of the Old Testament, a person could put a stone in this sling, whip it around his head, and hit the hair on the head of the enemy. That's how accurate they were. In fact, not long ago, I was watching something out of Palestine, and there was a young boy who was doing that, swinging around this piece of cloth with a stone in it, letting go of it, and hitting the target right on. Now, some people may ask, well, where was his faith? Why did he take 4 stones? The Bible isn't really clear on that, but we do know that Goliath had 4 kinsmen. They were also giants, born of their father Rapha of the city of Gath. And they're called Ishbi, Saph, another one is Alami. These 4 were not killed by David, but were killed later on because they were the armor bearers of Goliath. And when Goliath was killed, they fled. So it wasn't that David had a lack of faith when he picked up 5 stones instead of just 1, but he was ready in case the kinsmen of Goliath would also attack him.
That's actually, if you stop and think about it, a pretty audacious way for this little guy to proceed. He's not only taking on the giant, he's ready to take on the giant's whole family, isn't he?
Talk about faith. What is faith? Not once does David give credit to himself. He always gives credit to God. Again, another point you want to get across to the Sunday school kids, that you may be achieving things that are beyond your ability, but with the strength of God, sometimes that happens. And you certainly don't want to give credit to yourself. In a recent sermon, I made that point. Trinity Orchard Farm, where I'm helping out right now, has farmers. and they have had a wonderful harvest of crops. And I mentioned in the sermon, what would you think of a farmer who, after harvesting all his crops, stood on the side of the highway with a big sign saying, "Look what I did." And the whole congregation got the point that the farmer, yes, God uses him, but without the proper seed, without the proper earth, without the proper weather, without the proper machinery that God makes sure works and supplies, then we do nothing, but all the credit is given to God himself.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We'll talk more about David and Goliath on the other side of the break. Then the conclusion of our short series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. We've been talking with him about the doctrine of justification, that is, how God declares sinners righteous for Christ's sake, by grace through faith, and for Christ's sake alone, in the Old Testament continues. We'll be right back.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday, October the 31st. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, David and Goliath, in 1 Samuel 17. I'd like you to talk a little bit about the fact that how David refers to Goliath. He refers to him as an uncircumcised Philistine and as one who challenges the God of Israel. Why is that so important to David? He repeats it over and over again.
It's important because David is trying to make the point to the people that this is not someone that God is going to be on his side. That therefore, when someone who says this, it's very clear in the scripture that those who speak in that way actually deserve death. In fact, that's found a number of times in the scripture. Where is it found? It's found because Jesus is found again and again throughout these two chapters. In chapter 16:1, we're moving back, the Lord says to Samuel, and there the word for the Lord is the same word that Jesus uses in Exodus 3 at the burning bush to refer to himself, namely telling Samuel he's going to send him to Jesse the Bethlehemite in order to provide a king among his sons. And then 8 times the Lord appears, 7 of them are in 6 of them are in 1 Samuel 16, and then we find in 1 Samuel 17. Moreover, David said, "The Lord," again using the same name, "who delivered me from the paw of the lion, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And then David says in 17:45-47, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Then, and verse 47 is key, all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This is really significant for the Sunday school children, because they have a battle against Satan himself. In other words, David is kind of looking forward to Jesus, who will come to defeat the giants of our flesh, namely Satan and death. And he does it in, as is common in the Bible, what we call a paradoxical way. By taking on our sin, Jesus slew sin. By letting Satan kill him on the cross, Jesus slew Satan. And by dying on the cross, Jesus slew death. Because death was to be an eternal death, but that is no longer true for those who believe in Jesus Christ, because the wages of sin being death, Jesus took upon himself. So we see Jesus not only in the text itself, where his name is used and he's speaking to Samuel and to David, but we see him also as a parallel to David. And that's a very important point for the children to realize, that you are not going to defeat your enemies with spears or shields, but if you do defeat them, it is going to be by the Lord of hosts, the same one who parted the Red Sea, the same one who devastated the great city of Jericho, and that God is on the side of the Sunday school children.
Is there also something to note here, Tom, that at this point, Saul does not exactly seem to know who David is. Sometimes he doesn't, sometimes he doesn't. But he finds out who David is at the end of this story. Who is this young man? David identifies himself. And in a kind of a twist of irony, that Saul for whom David defeated Goliath will soon be after that same David himself. And as David said, the Lord's going to deliver him out of Saul's hand for much of the story to come.
The very last verse reminds us of the purpose of the book of Ruth. Because when Saul says to David, "Whose son are you, young man?" David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite." Now, Jesse, of course, he was the son of Obed, who was the son of Boaz, who had married Ruth. And by the way, Boaz was the son of the prostitute Rahab. And so in Matthew, you have two women who are not Jewish, namely Rahab the Canaanite and Ruth the Midianite, who are part of the line to Jesus. Now, what happens is people are so happy with what David has done, it's not long before Saul gets jealous. We already saw that when he wants David to put on his armor, not just the armor of a regular soldier, that was with the plan of perhaps getting credit. In case David did defeat Goliath, they would say, "Look, he had the armor of Saul." And chapter 18, which is not part of the Sunday school lesson, but is the very next point, the people are celebrating David. Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very angry, and he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day on. In other words, he kept his eye on David because he kind of knew that there was a chance that David would take over the kingdom. This Sunday, the gospel reading are the Beatitudes, and they are not hard to understand in the context of this Sunday school lesson, where blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake, Jesus says. David was persecuted by Saul. And why? Because he trusted in the word of the Lord rather than what Saul and even David's brother trusted in, and that was their experience. Looking at Goliath, how can we defeat him? For David, that was not a problem.
You spoke earlier about David's words, the Lord saves not by the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. That's going to come, as you mentioned before, to have pretty broad application. It's not just going to be something for David's life as the king of Israel, but for the entire life of that people from this point forward, and also pointing to Christ himself.
Yes, you just quoted 1 Samuel 17, verse 47. The Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now, David's talking to Goliath, but we can hear the same words at the cross, that the devil is defeated at the cross. And it's very, very paradoxical to imagine that Jesus saves us from death by the Father permitting him to die, that death. And it was more than just a physical death. It was actually a separation of the Father from the Son. My God, why have you forsaken me? And that separation was due to the fact that Jesus had taken upon himself the sins of the world, and that's why God turned his back on him as Jesus experienced hell itself on that cross.
Finally then, Tom, this is often a story told about, well, in essence, David's bravery, and then the children would be urged to follow David's example. They might say, you know, trust in the Lord, but really it's David's bravery that becomes the highlight here. You've said several times in the course of our conversation, not his bravery, but his faith. What's the difference?
The difference is, when I look at my life, and I'm sure when many people look at their own lives, they may not think that they're ready and prepared for what lies in front of them. In fact, that's a main cause of depression today. And that's why we have to look away from us, away from our experience. The center of sin, if you spell it, is I. The center of pride is I. But the center of my existence, my life, and my hope is Jesus. So every Sunday school lesson needs to point to Jesus as the one who will get us through whatever problems we are facing. We may not defeat the problem. Sometimes the Goliaths of the world will defeat us. But the hope that is within us means that even when we are persecuted, blessed are we, because God never leaves us, never forsakes us. He answers immediately when we call upon him in the day of trouble, and nothing happens in the life of a Christian that God does not work out for our good.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
The Sunday school curriculum that we use for the basis of our conversations with Tom every week as we teach Sunday school lessons comes from Concordia Publishing House. It's called Growing in Christ. Now, you'll see from the lesson just taught that it tends to buck the conventional wisdom of the Sunday school class. Those little moral lessons that are often taught from the Old and New Testament stories are not there. There's much more pointing to Christ, which is why it's called Growing in Christ. You can find a free sample of Growing in Christ just by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for Growing in Christ. On the other side of the break, it's the conclusion of our series on the doctrine of justification in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/LutherAcademy.